This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. I almost said Monday, which I don't know how you get that wrong.
That's really wrong.
If that tells you anything about how our day at Twin Peaks yesterday happened, yeah. I can tell you that
you
is...
You got the Monday blahs working?
Brother. I blame some of our good folks that came out. I know that Eli had me take a couple
of
shots.
Eli was just buying shots for everyone.
Yeah, I had a couple of shots. Those did not wear off quickly. Yeah. I had some shots with some other folks. Y'all, yeah. Man, y'all turn out. Y'all show up for Sports Radio 610.
I got home and I was like, man, that's stronger than I thought it was.
Yeah, and you only had one. You were like, I need one and I got work to do. Yeah. And I was like, nah, I'm here and I am feeling it, but I'm excited. Yeah. It's a funky Friday here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's get going. There's a lot to cover on this Friday, including I want to start with the Texans here, Lopez. We'll get to the tournament here shortly, but I did want to start with the Texans and get involved. 713-572-4610. That is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
Thank you, Jim, and also thank you to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live stream.
We keep it 100.
On YouTube and Twitch, but y'all ready for the disrespect card to be played?
Yeah, man.
When it comes to these Texans? Because, I mean, look, this offseason has been one where locally we've had our ups and downs and we've had a lot of air been blown by us and others about these things in various different ways. But the thing that has been constant has been like a more national perspective of sports looking in on Houston and being like, what the bleep is happening, to the point where, you know, there's various, you know, grades and rankings on what the offseason has looked like to this point. And I think to a man, they have been negative. I don't know that there's been any ones that have been, yo, the Texans are doing a great thing or having a good offseason, in a way that I think that we would have more diversity locally on grading this offseason thus far.
Yeah, and I was looking at these. So I stumbled across a post-free agency power rankings in the NFL. And I went, oh, that's interesting. You know, curiosity, that whole thing. And it got me thinking, are we too close to the Texans or are they too far? You know, because these national, I don't think they know some of the things that we do, which is, you know, obviously we're around this team all the time and talk to people and know things from over there all the time.
So we drink and know things.
Maybe they're too far away, but maybe we're too close as well. You know, with the rose-colored glasses, all that. So I started digging in and I searched post-free agency power rankings.
Okay.
I came across four. The highest the Texans were ranked, 14th. 15th, 16th, and 23rd were the other three. Dude, they're middle of the pack. you know, from the outside looking in. Middle of the pack. Is that, what is that? I mean, are they too far away from things or are we too close?
I'm not even sure if I have a particular answer to those particular questions. It feels like it's going to be somewhere in the middle, which again, that's not a satisfactory answer. But the reason why I get there is because you look at the offseason that the Texans have had and some of the, and I don't even want to like cast judgment. If we're just going to go as objectively as we can, the largest, like the ones that made the most noise of the Texans' moves, what were those?
The most recent one was a big one. And of course, Christian,
the trading of Laremy Tunsil.
Well, that was the biggest one going the other way.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's talk about it in general. The moves that they made. Biggest one, biggest noisemaker was an outgoing trade that brought back draft picks. Is some of it future capital. Another one was, another one at least locally, was bringing back Sheldon Rankins. Another one was bringing in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That's the one that had the most positive impact.
Yeah.
And you sent out Kenyon Green, so it still had a little bit of a light shown on this offensive line, which was a clear and evident issue for this Texas team last year. Like, I think that in any given space, there's not a lot of the things that are sexy for offseason and for free agency in particular, where honestly winning free agency isn't the biggest thing in the world, but it's just kind of surprising that there was no one willing to find as much of the negative or as much as the positives within what the Texans have done.
But you mentioned CJ Gardner-Johnson. I thought they got some there.
They definitely got some love on the CJ GJ.
Christian Kirk, you know, making
that's
that
true
move.
And that happened a little bit earlier, and I think the love that was there,
and I thought the one that would maybe put him over the top, and this, to be fair, this was the ones I looked at were right before the Cam Robinson deal. Maybe that changes something. I don't think it changes a lot because there's mixed reviews on him.
Well, I know, in fact, I think it continues to add to the negativity. I want to take you to Nate Tice. He's by the way, the co-host of the Football 301 podcast with Charles McDonald, who we talked to earlier this week. I know that Matt Harmon also gets involved. I don't want to ignore him, but it's a solid podcast. Nate Tice is very good, right? His dad, Mike Tice, coached the Vikings for a very long time. I say all this to remind you that I think he's very good at his job and his analysis. And I bring you to his recent thoughts. I think that they had this podcast come out literally yesterday about the Cam Robinson signing in particular.
The stopgaps that they signed and trade for is a little concerning to me because, you know, signing Cam Robinson to the one-year deal, yeah, he's a stopgap, and yeah, he has started, but I've brought this stat up a lot. He allowed the highest one-on-one pressure rate among all offensive tackles last year in the NFL once he joined the Vikings. And even if you looked at the whole season, he was still below average when he was with the Jags. He's always been average at best at tackle. And, you know, the Patriots, who have gigantic gaps on their offensive line, said no thanks. And that's because, you know, Doug Marrone, their offensive line coach, who I also have some issues with, some of the stuff he's done recently. But he was like, yeah, I don't want Cam Robinson. I coached him before. I don't want him again. That should be a big red alert. Like, a team that desperately needs offensive linemen, and coaches love coaching players they used to coach because they're lazy. And he was like, no thanks. That is scary to me.
I mean, that's the strongest case against Cam Robinson you'll hear, the fact that his former coach didn't take him.
Yeah.
That's about as strong as you. And I've been defending the move because of the Sam Darnold factor, holding the ball, and it makes tackles look bad. But that's about as strong as you can get against Cam Robinson. So you might be right. I thought it might help the Texans in terms of power rankings. Hell, it might hurt them.
And honestly, that might be an indication that we might be too close. Because again, we have been looking at, and I think a lot of the justification on offensive line and the way that they've gone about things has been, it was really bad last year. I think we understand uniquely the things that made it a little bit difficult to push forward in the immediate and in the near future for, and I know that those sound like the same thing, but I think you get what I mean. Like the immediate being this season, the near being the next two, three seasons. Future with this offensive line and trying to make it better with Laremy Tunsil, whether it's contract, whether it's, you know, kind of culture, what have you.
Yeah.
And we know uniquely those issues, and so we're focused in on that. But to be fair, and I know that there's been people on this station that have had criticisms of it. What's happening to my boy Clint?
Yeah.
This offensive line, what they have done to try and make it better, there's a lot of questions here still. There's a lot of questions here still. So even in that big place, the big issue that you came into the offseason with, I don't know that you have definitive answers. And, I mean, even the best-case scenario you look at, and if you go Cam Robinson as some level of competition or a starter, you have two other guys that you brought in on the offensive line that are just competition, and you're still hoping you're still hoping to get better play out of Titus, you're hoping to get better play out of Blake Fisher, and then you're hoping to plop in a rookie or two and get better. Like, it's fair to have some of that, I guess, quote unquote disrespect, but I think locally, right, we're gonna hold that though. We're gonna hold on to that card on the off chance there that this offense comes out here like gangbusters.
But this is the reason I feel that it is far too those rankings are far too low.
Okay.
Because you can talk about, and we just did, you know, the offensive line and some of the moves and Laremy Tunsil going out and not a lot coming back, and you're doubting Cam Robinson. It's still low in terms of the post, you know, free agency rankings, power rankings. Did you not see this defense? Did you not see how good this and how far this defense took this team? You know, with a subpar offensive line that can only, and I don't subscribe to this, but I do get it in this regard. You know, it can't be worse. You know, that's not the bar, but at the same time, it can't be. It truly cannot be worse. Did you not see how far this defense took this team last year? They are better than 15, 16, and 23 just based on that alone and the moves that they added on the defense. And one more thing. Are you not familiar with C.J. Stroud's work? So like when they come up with these power rankings, yes, you might just focus in on, well, I don't know about that offensive line. It can't be worse, but I don't know how much better it got. Yeah, but you're ignoring the reason that they got to the divisional round, you know?
Do you think that those rankings are rankings of the teams at this juncture, or do you think those rankings are just rankings of the off seasons?
I think they're being they're biased. They're being swayed by just the offseason moves and not looking at the teams.
Okay.
And that's where I was like, get ready to play the disrespect card. Because I guarantee you this defense is not just better. It could be a lot better than it was last year. And we know how good it was. And now you've got, you know, Gardner Johnson. You've got all these guys coming in. You got a happy Danielle Hunter and, you know, all this stuff. And C.J. Stroud with, oh, by the way, new offensive scheme. We don't know what it's going to be, but it can't be worse, as has been talked about.
Hey, that's another question mark, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it could be. It could be, but it also could be a big check mark, you know?
Sure. Do you think that this is a fair text that comes in from the 281 on the Jim Mallet, the Texas Hammer text?
The Texas Hammer!
Oh, Jim, you still there? What's happening? The Texans are not trying to win a Super Bowl. They just want to make moves to keep you interested so they can fill up the stadium.
Welcome to 2014.
Okay, so you're saying that's
what the Texans might have been in the past.
Okay,
And I'm just being honest. I think they like to play dress up is what I used to call it. Some of our longtime listeners will remember me talking about the Texans as a team that likes to play dress up, like to say all the right things, you know, like to act like they're going to be a contender, but never really back it up with big moves. I don't think that's the case at all. They are making win now moves. They did it last year. They spent the money. Cal and Hannah are spending money. They're, you know, so
they sure are.
So no, this comment right there might be a little PTSD from the way the Texans used to do things. That's not how they do it now.
Okay, so then can I add into the into evidence, as I'm trying to, I guess, pretend to be some level of lawyer or what have you, this that came out from The Athletic, and this is actually focusing on ownerships. They put out a little bit of a breakdown. In fact, a tiers list. I love a good tiers
Everybody
list.
Everybody loves a good
man.
Tiers
it's
list.
It's always good to see a good tiers list. How much does every NFL owner want to win? Mm-hmm. And they broke this down into tiers, as I mentioned, the tiers named as such. There's a contention mode tier. There's a willing to do what it takes tier. There's a content to compete tier. There is a trying to get right, to get it right tier.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a stuck in struggle mode tier. What tier would you assume, or would you slot, or would you maybe figure that the Athletic slotted the McNair ownership group into?
100% willing to do what it takes. 100%. And look, you guys know me, man. If you listen to this show for any amount of time, I'm not. That's the last thing I am is the old Texans. You know, they can't do no wrong, because I literally just said it. I used to say, you know, they used to play dress up. I think this is a different era.
All right, so I will bring you to this tier list. Contention mode has the likes of the Ravens, the Bills, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Eagles. That feels right, right?
Yeah.
Okay, willing to win or to do what it takes to win. That's the tier that you think that they should be in. All right, the teams in there, the Packers, the Chargers, the Rams, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Niners, the Bucks, the Commanders.
Hmm.
Finn.
What tier is that?
That is
willing to do what
willing
it takes.
To do what it takes. So they
the Chargers.
Yeah, well,
good question.
I don't know about the Chargers, man.
Right, the Chargers are in there. The Commandos have just gotten into that realm. Mm-hmm. But yes, like those are the teams that they put in.
Not the Texans.
No Texans. We move to the next one. Content to compete, which is what that texter mm-hmm. was throwing up there. The Cardinals, the Bengals, the Saints. Finn. Trying to get it right is where the what? Panthers, the Bears, the Broncos, and the Raiders, the Patriots, Seahawks, and Texans.
Trying to get it right?
I'll give you the blurb in a segment that I like to call reading. Yeah. Houston, owned by Cal McNair, has won back-to-back AFC South titles with Coach DeMeco Ryans and GM Nick Caserio at the helm. Factual. but the Texans have had a curious offseason, trading away their two best veteran offensive linemen while all... Let me stop. In doing the segment of reading, I just got hit. Their best two veteran offensive linemen, because one of them, I imagine, is Laremy Tunsil. Maybe you make that case. Are we talking about Kenyon Green? And I say this with all due respect to Kenyon Green, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be no jerk.
Shaq?
He got released.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Got to be talking about Shaq.
I will continue the segment that I like to call reading.
You're out of breath. That threw you for a curve.
It did. Even I was shocked, and I read this earlier. All right, trading away their best two veteran offensive linemen while also making Derek Stingley Jr. the highest-paid cornerback in the league and giving defensive end Danielle Hunter a big money extension. The desire is there, but if the Texans don't land a couple of O-line cornerstones in the draft, C.J. Stroud's chances of achieving his true potential are bleak.
That's garbage. That's just flat-out garbage. That's not what this team is. We can talk about it. We do talk about it. Some of the things we can question, maybe some things we endorse. But to say that they're not willing to do what it takes to win, this is 2 years running where they're spending money. They're bringing in players. They're trying to find the solution, you know, to put them over the top. Well, they're doing everything they are trying to get it right.
It seemed like last season was the key because they went out and got Danielle Hunter, which nobody expected that.
Yeah.
They traded for Stephon Diggs. It seemed like they were trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
that's disrespect.
So go ahead and put that one in your back pocket.
Ring the bell. That's disrespect. We're playing the
bell's a little far
the disrespect
right
card here. There we go. There's the bell right there's the disrespect and cliche bell. The versatile bell.
So, I mean, look, we're just going to have to hold on to the disrespect while also, I think, very rightfully watching this offensive line intently to see, can you then make all of these naysayers, let all these naysayers know, shout out to Jalen Milroe, in this space, because I am starting to have some concern. I'm not going to lie about this offense. I guess starting is not right because we've been in this place, but this offensive line.
The team at large
is in a great place, but there's a huge, huge linchpin that this lands on, and it's making sure your offensive line gets right because it is fair to say that if you don't get this offensive line right, you know, and CJ Stroud's chances of achieving what he can do are bleak. Like, that's 100% true. We lived through that last season, and it can't be that again.
Yeah.
And so, depending on what Nick Caserio is capable of doing the remainder of this period.
No, I feel disrespected.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we can all carry this disrespect together. Shout out to Pal Pal says, stop listening to the national media trying to cover any Houston team a long time ago. National media can't cover Houston accurately. Let's hope that they're right. Let's hope that they're right, because that's exactly what the Texans need. They need the national media to be very wrong in this regard in order to reach what they need to in this season in particular. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Friday. Always get involved. We appreciate you doing that on the text line 713-572-4610. And coming up next, what was your feelings about night one, or day one rather, of NCAA basketball? Because I currently am working with someone who is very pleased with the first day. We'll talk about that and more next.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yep. Friday here in the loop with Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a good one thus far. We're not too far away from basketball getting back going. Day two of it, second day of the first round. And I'm just looking directly at our Sports Radio 610 rankings. And I can tell you, I am dead last. Sean is down there with me. It's not looking great for some of us. How is your bracket holding up? Not you, Lopez. We know. 713-572-4610.
I think I feel like it needs to be, you know, just for the record. I mean, just, you know, out of, you know, obligation to do our jobs correctly, it needs to be mentioned.
Do our jobs correctly.
Who's number one?
That would be me, Figgy.
Okay.
Yeah. 15-1, by the way, if you're wondering. The 99th percentile on the ESPN National competition.
I take so much solace in the fact that every year, like, without fail.
I mean, 99th percentile is pretty good, right? Nationally?
It is. But the person on day one that's like, look at my bracket, it's so great. by the Elite Eight, they're sitting there real quiet. So I'm just, yeah.
I think it's the reason he's doing this because he had a bad couple years the last couple.
Incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a couple times you was just like, yeah, I'm out.
Last year was not the best.
Yes.
But I am Mr. Consistency when we come to the brackets.
Okay.
Not the word brackets. The word brackets, you'd be awful.
I have the entire history here. I can go back to 2016.
We're not going into your. I don't want to see your.
I know last year you was in last place.
Okay, last year was not great. But I can go back to 2000.
That brother was done by the second round.
Okay, we get the point. 15-1, 99th percentile. I'm leading every one of my five pools that I'm in.
Okay.
It's happening, baby.
Actually, I don't know about all that for the time being. An interesting first round, and I use interesting as one of those catch-all words because I didn't find it to be all that, like, entertaining, if that's a word. And I'm interested if you...
Dramatic.
There definitely wasn't drama, which yeah. I think that's really one of the main things, one of the main drivers of this particular tournament is the drama, especially in the first 2 days. It's why I think a lot of people have a lot of excitement for it generally is because it brings drama. That's one of the things we were talking about yesterday when we had the texter text in saying that they don't really love college basketball. And I was like, are we here to watch the basketball itself?
Exactly.
Are we here for kind of like the stories that it brings and the drama that it brings, almost like Olympic-like, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're going to tell you who the major players are and what are the storylines here, and you're just kind of here for the drama. And there wasn't a lot of it because the upsets that did happen were either blowouts or kind of to be expected. Like McNeese State was one of those ones that was a favorite, like a favorite
upset.
Yeah. It was one of the ones that was picked a lot.
Yes,
yeah, that's an upset.
Yeah. I didn't expect them to just, well, they won by two, but it was pretty much in control.
They had like almost a 20-point lead at half. Yeah. I think it was 31-13 at that point at half in that game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in some of the other plays, like Drake was kind of expected to be a better team than Missouri. At least I saw a decent amount of people who looked at them and said that's a team that doesn't have a lot of losses in that quad one space. They're just not giving a lot of.
There was a lot of
love.
People that actually watched Drake throughout the season and said, "Hey, this is a good team right here."
They slow down the pace, and Missouri's a high paced team, and it was a popular pick as well.
Yeah, and so I thought that all those things came together and made it so that I didn't find it to be like a super intriguing day one of the tournament. I will say though, all full disclosure,
being out at Twin Peaks yesterday, y'all had me drinking alcohol for real, for real. So I took a little nappy nap. I missed a few games, I'm going to be honest. But for the most part, it just, I don't know. It didn't grab my attention in the same way.
I feel like the best drama was late. And I went to bed right as it was happening. And that was Michigan. And was it, I guess it was UC San Diego. A three-point game. Three-pointer just rims out at the final buzzer. Russell would have gone over. That was the closest one. But that was, you know, I kind of like just, you know, if you're going to absorb the day, there were some I thought, some pretty interesting takeaways and highlights. And
let's get it.
Let's not bury the lead here. UH and Gonzaga were probably the two most impressive teams I saw yesterday.
And heavy on the UH. That was a 78-40 victory. And the thing that I thought was incredible about it was not just that they blew them out of the water. I love it because it lessens the load early on, right? Mm-hmm. I think, one, if you want to get into the matters of statement game, this is a statement game for Houston, putting everybody on notice. Like, all right,
yeah,
whatever y'all want to say about Houston, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, know that we are here on a business trip. Like, yeah, it's a work trip for all, us. And on top of that, I don't think there was a single player single starter, one of the major players that the Houston Cougars typically use, that played more than 25 minutes. If my memory serves mm-hmm. me correctly, Uzan played 21 or 23, Cryer played 21 or 23 minutes. They did not have to exert themselves nearly as much. And in that first round, or first and second round, the first weekend, you go into week, you know, the second round where they're expected to face off against the other team you were mentioning, Gonzaga.
Yeah,
I think having fresher legs is going to be huge.
That's the story. Yeah, I mean, the two of the most impressive teams were UH and Gonzaga. They play tomorrow.
Are y'all a little nervous about this?
Yes.
Gonzaga?
Yes.
Yes.
I think you would have to be considering how good Gonzaga has been. I'm really and truly not. I think that this is a well-equipped Houston team to handle these tough situations. It's going to be one of the tougher matchups that a one seed is going to have to face, or a high seed is going to have to face mm-hmm. in the second round. But I think that they're very well equipped to handle it. Like, I'm not afraid that they're going to lose it. I'm just interested to see how they get across to
I'm picking U of H as well, but that's it's almost unfair because Gonzaga.
I'm like, how the hell is Gonzaga number eight?
Well, they were
underseeded.
They were seeded lower than they yeah. probably should have been. It's going to be entertaining.
That
it's
ain't
good,
fair.
It's good for us. No, it's not. It's good for us. It's going to be entertaining. I thought, you know, the fun games, I put a category in there, but we've already talked about it. I thought McNeese was a fun game just because. And Aura. How about Mr. Aura?
Hey, man, shout out to the young man. Yeah. And I didn't realize that I'd see so many people hating on him like that. Amir Khan, the manager.
Yeah.
I appreciated the fact that McNeese leaned all the way into it. They yes. had their cheerleaders wearing Amir Khan socks. So that got some camera time. I loved also when we have these moments in sports and everybody knows exactly what time it is. When there was interviews happening in the locker room, all the players are big up in Amir mm-hmm. in a way that, like, you would kind of expect them to big up various other players on their team. They're like, nah, Amir, he's that man, first man in.
Yeah.
He's always getting us right with the music, all that. Like, they were giving him all his props. They're really leaning into it. These are the fun things about the
you
tournament.
You can tell that it's sincere. They really like this kid.
Yeah.
And he really works hard. And so they're probably just happy, you know, that he's getting some love. And, by the way, it's elevating McNeese State, you know, beyond
yeah.
anything.
I have a confession about that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then the other fun ones was Drake and UC San Diego.
Drake?
Drake. I love the Drake. Anyway.
A Seinfeld reference. Yeah.
I got some teams you got to look out for.
Okay. All right.
Here's the teams you got to look out for down the road. And you know I've kind of been high on this team. Ocho has been as well for a long time. Shout out to Ocho. BYU.
That's a team that shoots.
They
the ball.
Beat a really good squad.
They really did. I thought they might lose that one.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I got a lot of red on my ledger right now.
VCU is real good, and BYU made it look pretty simple. Creighton, they've beaten some like non-conference. If you follow basketball at all, you know, casually even, you've seen them win some big times games. They were pretty dang impressive against a good Louisville squad. And then I thought St. John's, you think, okay, well, they're struggling early. They were cutting into it from all the other. Second half, they put 30 on their ass in no time at all. They outscored them by 30. St. John's is going to be a problem.
Yeah, more TV time for the vampire, Rick Pitino.
Yes.
He does look like a vampire.
He
though,
does.
He does. Yeah, we'll see if that ultimately leads to, like, more fun stuff.
Yeah.
When it comes to getting going today, are there any of the games that you're, like, looking forward to on the schedule today? Because, again, I can't imagine that you get, like, a full first round of games that maybe don't have that same energy that you kind of expect from the tournament, from the madness. Like, I think one of the 5-12s that I was looking at was Colorado State and Memphis. That one's up today as well. How are you feeling about North Carolina?
That's the one.
I know that was a lot of...
North Carolina, Ole Miss.
Okay.
I actually have Carolina winning that game, which means they probably will, of course, you know, based on...
All right.
based on yesterday. I'm just kidding. I think Memphis should be on upset alert with Colorado State. I think Colorado State is one of those squads, kind of like McNeese, veteran. They've been there. You know, they're really, really senior laden. They're real good. They really are. I think that might be one as well.
Yesterday did spoil me, though, with all them TVs. We got this one TV in here. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to keep track of all these basketball games.
But we'll get that 360 going if they have it.
Well, this is what makes me really mad, and this is another confession that I'll go ahead and give right now anyways. I really think that college basketball watching the tournament was better when they had the single television channel.
Oh, and the cut-ins?
And they did the whip-around for us. You do the work.
Oh, they don't do that no more.
No, they don't. They're just like, hey, here's all the channels. Watch whatever you want. I'm like, no, you're supposed to be curating. This is not Luby's. This is a sit-down. This is Saltgrass. You're supposed to bring me what I'm supposed to have right now.
Yeah, okay? Because most of the times you'll be sitting there watching a blowout game that don't even matter.
Yeah.
And you could be watching the game that's close. And they
didn't even know.
Cut in on it.
They didn't even know. You were just sitting here watching UH beat the mess
out. I just realized they don't do that no more.
No, sad. It stinks.
Oklahoma UConn is another one that 832 says that we should keep out for.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, looking forward to it. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, earlier in the week, there was a lucky Houstonian that won 25 Gs, hitting a half-court shot at a Houston Rockets game. And that got me thinking, for you, what competition or game would you absolutely dominate at? 713-572-4610. Get in on the question of the day. Next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, happy Funky Friday here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let us get to the question of the day. What game or competition would you absolutely dominate at? 713-572-4610. The texts are already rolling in. The YouTube's there for you. The Twitch is there with Joel Hernandez. Wanted to make sure that we repeated the fact that the Aggies beat the nerds of Yale. So shout out to the Aggies. I did not believe in you, and you can take that out on me personally. That's cool. I appreciate that.
That's right.
But what you will not take out on me is that if I ever get the opportunity to do something like was done at the Rockets game earlier this week, when a fan had an opportunity to knock down a half-court shot for the grand total of 25 Gs, $25,000. This is what it sounded like.
Here we go, 4, 3, 2, 1, oh! Mark! I am just absolutely amazed. In front of all these amazing Rockets fans, Mark, you've just won $25,000.
Shout out to Mark.
God, I love it.
That's awesome.
You got with that one in particular, time was ticking down. I think if that one didn't go, he might have been able to get one more off in that moment. And I always think to myself, whenever, you know, I have the privilege of being at a game, is usually when you can see it. Maybe if you're, like, watching on League Pass, you can see some of the halftime activities or you know, in breaks. And I'm like, man, maybe not, like, just the pure half-court shot, because that one gets a little dicey. But especially the ones where it's like, hey, we need a layup and a free throw and a three-point shot. Yeah. And then you see some folks that clearly aren't, like, basketball players. They love basketball. But
you could do that one.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what gets me to this place where I'm like, oh, I would dominate at that. Don't put me on the court for that because I'm taking your money. You know what
well,
I mean?
Okay.
That's what I'm, and that's what I want.
You play ball, you're quick enough. You
exactly.
Know,
yeah, right. That's what I want. I want the thing that gets you in your feelings where you're like, if you give me this competition, I'm knocking it out of the park and you're just giving me free money. Because people are already on the text line in that space from the 281. They said, I would do the hamburger race at the Texans game, or I want to do the hamburger race at the Texans game so badly. That's from Rob.
It's just funny to see. It's just funny to look at. So you're saying, like, what would I dominate at?
Like at a sports event.
At a sports event or like a game show.
Game or competition. Or
like a game show competition.
Right. You might be like Rosie Perez. Yeah. Like, let me get on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I'm cooking. I have all of these things down pat.
And you're talking, obviously, outside of picking a bracket.
What you want to say to that? I mean, ask you sincerely, what would you like me to say to that?
Because that was obvious.
Okay, yes, yeah. That is obvious. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say. After round one, this dude got his chest out.
Man, he really is. Have you heard of the parable of the tortoise and the hare?
Yes.
Because you are right now very hair-like.
I just enjoy doing this.
I'm worried for Lopez because...
I'm worried for me. I just enjoy doing this.
Being this cocky, man, you gonna mess around being last place.
Yes, I am. But today's fun.
I do respect it. Knowing that ahead of time, like, look... I'm going to enjoy this while I have the time.
It's exactly what I'm doing. Okay, I would have to say Wheel of Fortune. Okay. I like the cat. You know, the easy chair Wheel of Fortune player. I dominate on that. Like just a few letters, and I kind of have a lot of them kind of honed in. I would say Wheel of Fortune would be mine.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. From 346 Brady Bunch trivia.
That's a good angle.
That's a great answer.
Like those shows or categories.
Right. Yeah. The things where you're like, I have all this information for no good reason.
Yes.
But if I can weaponize this in some way.
Seinfeld
trivia.
Yeah.
That stuff is harder than what you think, though.
It sure
because
is.
I played a Martin trivia game. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I know everything about Martin. No, they get in the details. Like, who was the handyman in room 305? I'm like, what? What handyman? Or what was Gina's boss name?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I don't know none of this stuff.
Yeah, especially the higher levels.
Yeah.
They get into stuff like, ooh, you know, what was Seinfeld's apartment number?
What was the cab driver who drove them to this?
Yes.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. 5A, by the way.
Wait, what?
Seinfeld's apartment number was 5A.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Okay.
And then Kramer was 5B, wasn't he?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Pop Culture Jeopardy, good answer from the 832. They said for them, it would be The Floor, everything Christmas movies. The Floor, I haven't watched enough of this game show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a little bit of a game show snob. I feel like we've lost the talent to be able to craft really, really good game shows.
The Floor is interesting because you don't need to be a Jeopardy genius. You do need to know at some level, high level, like that type of information. But sometimes it's like, you know, just pop culture, easy layup type stuff. I was so surprised this morning when Sean said that he watches America Says. I thought I was the only nerd watching that show.
I don't even know what that
is. It's a game show network game.
Yeah.
And again, I think this comes back to my take. And look, I with all due respect to yourself and Sean, I've watched Game Show Network of late and I've been like... Man, we done lost the quality here.
No,
man.
For sure.
It's not the same.
That one just kind of hooks you in. It's like a Family Feud, but they just give you the first letter of different ones and you have 30 seconds to answer it. So it's kind of like you have to be quick and know that type stuff. But it I thought I was the only one.
So, I mean, a lot of people are coming with the random knowledge that they have. Name That Tune, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Somebody said if for Sean, he probably should be like Sopranos trivia, which absolutely 100%.
Or wrestling. Yeah.
From the 402, they said, put me in front of that little roll the ball in the whole game and the carnival in front of anyone, and I will win.
Mm.
Carnival games, the only one I'm decent, and I'm not good, but I'm decent
I ain't know anybody that was good at carnival
games,
man.
Because they're built to lose.
Yes.
They worse than a casino.
Yeah.
They are.
No, they are. They are worse because at least the casinos are monitored, you know, they're regulated.
At least you get some good food or drinks or something.
Yeah.
Are there any other like game ones? Like, are you guys kicking the field goal? Right? I know that this year they kind of moved away from that.
I tried that. So after, I think it was after the Texans games, mm-hmm. they usually had people on the field doing little activities.
Yeah.
I tried to kick that field goal. I had to hurt my toe. And the ball didn't go anywhere, man.
I, you know, everybody kicks, you know, when you're a kid in high school, you're kicking field goals. Hey, let's go kick some field goals. You know, I was okay at it, but I wouldn't want to do it because I'm a straight on kicker.
Oh.
I'm like Tom Dempsey.
So even if it goes through, people are like, what
are you doing? It's soccer style, man. You got to do it. No, I'm a straight on kicker.
Of the ones that are like stadium ones, I feel like the one that I want to do, but I haven't like been able to convince myself to have the confidence that I would win it. You remember the Beat the Freeze that the Braves did?
That nobody beats the Freeze.
But I've seen people beat the Freeze.
Yeah.
I'm not that confident in my speed, but I mean,
it'd be fun.
It would be fun to try it,
mm-hmm.
especially because they like giving you a head start, right? They want to give you that feeling that you're doing something. And if you can take that head start knowing and with respect that the Freeze is coming and just give it your all out, you have a little bit of a shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, there's something within me that says, I believe
I could make it close.
If I haul ass right off the top and I don't, because some people get out there and they're like, oh, I'm so far ahead that he can't get me.
Go ahead, finish. I just thought of one.
No, I'm pretty much done.
The sausage races.
You want to be in the sausage race?
Milwaukee, yeah. Those are fun. And you just got to, all you have to beat is a couple of other drunk fans. You know?
All right. Reckless speculation. I've always thought that those things are rigged. The sausage race?
A couple of them seem like they were.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it always felt to me like this is preordained. Mm-hmm. Like, this is predetermined. We got some wrestle in here.
Yeah.
And how you get there is fine, but this particular sausage got to get over the line first.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said they would dominate at the Kiss Cam.
Ha!
Good work. Good text. Good text. I like what you're doing there.
Cash Cab. That's a fun game show.
Hash Cab is tough.
Did that still come on?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I don't think they still do.
Well, I don't know if they're new episodes.
Reruns. Yeah, I think we're watching reruns at this point.
But the harder, the second level, third level questions are pretty hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody said I'll do well at karaoke.
Hmm?
Is there any? I was like, do we have any karaoke type competitions necessarily besides like American Idol? Like at that point, you're just doing American Idol or whatever the
pretty much
America's Got Talent or whatever those are.
Yeah.
And they said somebody said, have y'all been to the game show place where you can bring a group and party and actually play a game show live? Oh,
I would love that.
Sounds like we might need to put a 610.
Maybe that's the mixer.
That's the mixer. We're just gonna keep workshopping this particular singles mixer all the way down. Oh, 479. This is a great answer. The Dr. Pepper football toss. Because what do they be doing?
I like when they do it with both hands.
Well, the chest pass. Yeah, see, the stakes are too high for me to be out for those folks to be out here trying to like throw a perfect spiral. They're like tuition is on the line. Do I want to have debt for another 30 years or do I want to win?
Yeah.
Like, these are different things that have us here. Keep texting those in 713-572-4610. The game or competition you would absolutely dominate on, and I absolutely salute again to Mark. Who won $25,000 hitting a half-court shot at a Rockets game earlier this week. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where yet another veteran guard goes off the board. Could this mean something for the Texans? Question mark. We'll talk about that more.